penetration, wants to back down Davis, gets it to Bodie. Bodie steps into a three. Bodie hit on the arm, count it. He'll go to the free throw line. Seven threes for Bodie Hume, and Northern Colorado pushes the lead back to six. Are you kidding me, Bodie Hume?
Are you kidding me, Bodie Hume? UNC Bears get the W. Susan and Cheryl, my goodness, it's 90-83. UNC wins, and Bodie didn't find anything about that performance. Humorous. Boom, got it, nailed it. Nailed the joke, Colfax. 30 points, 8 rebounds, was a monster on defense. Three blocks, but one major block late in that game. And listen, Bodie Hume's going to get it because when you score 30 points in a college basketball game, you're going to be the one we talk to in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk to Bodie. But Colfax, I would have been happy talking to anybody on this roster, to be honest with you. Bryce Kennedy came up with some big shots. Kuorjo Kuch is my new superhero, man. This guy is so fun to watch. He had to own the paint in order for Bodie and the rest of this crew to start rolling. And once he did that, this team didn't look back. So, Kuorjo Kuch, congratulations. Bodie Hume, monster. Dalen Kuntz came up with some big shots. My guy, Matt Johnson. Jamel Melvin, man, that's another name. He only had 2 points in this game, but Kuorjo Kuch goes out with foul trouble, and Jamel Melvin comes in and plays pretty strong when they needed him to, because there's a monster for Sacramento. Ethan Espeseto, if I can say that correctly, he was rocking and rolling. He had 18 points, and he was kind of a monster. So I thought Jamel Melvin came in, and he didn't let him walk all over him. And that was a good job. So there's a lot of guys that deserve a shout-out in this one. It was a fantastic game. Bears win. Steve Smiley, his first ever Big Sky Conference tournament, and he gets his first win in that game. Of course, that was, 8:30 the coverage began, 9 o'clock this morning. Wow. Earliest game in the country is what I was told. Wow. We're going to get Steve Smiley on again today. We're tight, man. Coach and I are tight. We're buddies. Next year, I'm probably just going to go to this tournament, probably sit on the bench and just hold a clipboard or something. That's how tight we are. I doubt that's going to happen. Got to read this text, Colfax. This is a good one. Hi, KFK. I'm John Ellard. 3 a.m., 6 a.m., Saturday mornings. Spring quarter, 86, interning from UNC. The Saturday morning I graduated, I played my last two songs for my parents in their hotel room. Daddy's Tune by Jackson Brown. You know you're looking for that song right now, Colfax. And Mama Tried, Grateful Dead version. Are you a deadhead?
I'm a deadhead. I'm in with that.
Okay, so you can find that song if you want.
Okay.
I figured you'd be a deadhead.
I'm a deadhead.
Yeah, I just had a feeling. Yeah. I want to say go Bears, and no, in Chicago we don't say go duh Bears anymore. Keep smiling, John Ellard. Go Bears. Dudes win. Go Lady Bears tonight. Yes, that's tonight as well. Oh, yeah. Susan and Cheryl pumped. It's a great day to be a UNC Bear. So congratulations to the University of Northern Colorado. You and I talked about it. That win kind of makes up for a weird season. And so now you can turn around and say, yeah, it was a pretty good season. No matter what happens tomorrow, that was a pretty good season, taking care of a team like that. Sac State, you never played them before. They played 5 games in 2 months. So it's bizarre time for sure. Now you play Southern Utah, and it's kind of like you're playing with house money. You win that game, and we're going to go, wow, this is the Bears team that we probably should have seen throughout the course of the season. And it's not to say the Bears have been bad in the regular season. They've been about a 500 basketball team. Kovacs, I was the lone Ranger that voted for Bodie Hume to win the Big Sky Conference MVP. And no, he didn't win it. In fact, he didn't really come close. He didn't have the stats. But I got to say, this is the game. This is what he can do. This guy was laser focused, and the points were rolling for him. But I got to say this. Coach Smiley alluded to it yesterday. What we don't notice and what we don't see in the stat sheet with Hume is his defense, the way he plays defense. And he did it again. He came up with some key blocks in this game. He honestly, he's done that all season. So, no, it's not going to get up on the stat sheet. You're not going to see great defense. You'll see blocks and stuff, of course. But it was a hell of a game. So congratulations to the UNC Bears. We'll talk to Bodie Hume here in just a moment. Now they move on tomorrow. Pre-game at 10:30 Is that right? Another morning game, not as early. 10:30, 11 o'clock. So the Power Trip guys, they get to take a little day off. Pete and Doug, Doogie Doug Fresh. I heard you filling in for Doogs today.
Yeah, we did a little tag team. We had Mike in for the first half, and then I took over the second half.
That's the kind of show that takes two producers, man.
They have a lot going on.
I tell you what. They have a lot going on. It's a damn good show. We're happy to have those boys with us here, rocking and rolling. They care about the youth basketball or the youth sports scene so much, and it's been a great addition to 1310 KFK. Kovacs, I got my big story of the day. I'm trying to sort through the details. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Ba-da-da. DUI charges dismissed for Denver Broncos Melvin Gordon as running back pleads to lesser charges. Jeff Legwald of ESPN and Broncos Insider writing about this morning, saying that they were dismissed this morning in Denver County Court as Gordon pleaded guilty to lesser charges of excessive speeding and reckless driving. Gordon had a jury trial scheduled for April 8th if the case had not been settled before then. A 27-year-old was arrested October 13th. In downtown Denver and charged with a DUI, he was cited for speeding between 25 and 39 miles per hour over the legal limit. He did not take a breathalyzer test at the scene. I did not know that. So that's why when I asked that question, it's like, how do you fight a DUI? Well, if they didn't take a breathalyzer and they just said you were drunk, I mean, or intoxicated or whatever fancy word you want to use. The Denver's district attorney's office dismissed the DUI charges after Gordon's legal team raised evidentiary concerns. Gordon, who had pleaded not guilty to the DUI charge in January, had a previous hearing rescheduled to Wednesday after his attorney. So that is what's Gordon will be a Bronco next year, more than likely, unless something else happens. The NFL could act and still discipline him, but not likely at this point. Gordon will likely avoid league discipline as well, Jeff Legwald writes. The NFL has previously suspended players who had been charged with reckless driving, including former New York Giants kicker. But in the incident with that kicker, had also been charged with leaving the scene of an accident and driving without a valid license. So there you go. 12 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We're getting the star of the game, although there was a lot of stars on this one for UNC. When you get 30 points, man, we're gonna pump you up here. We're going to get you on the show. Bodie Hume coming up in just a moment for the UNC Bears. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't go anywhere. There you go. That one is for you, John. To raise me better, but her pleading fine at night. That leaves only me to blame, cause mama tried.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Is that the cowbell going there, man? That's for Bodie. The cowbell for Bodie. That's the thing. Bodie Hume joining us now. He had 30 points in this one, 8 boards, some amazing blocks, great defense. Bodie and the UNC Bears win 90-83. Bodie, my friend, congratulations on a fantastic game.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Man, this was fun. Like I said, I want to interview everybody on that team today because it was a team effort for sure. But Bodie, 30 points. My goodness. What'd you have? A couple of extra shots of coffee this morning or what, man?
No, I just decided to have a light breakfast instead of trying to pig my face.
Well, Coach Smiley's saying this was the earliest game in the country, man. Is that so? I mean, it clearly didn't bother you guys, especially in that second half.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is actually our second time playing at 9 a.m. I don't know if you remember. We played Montana at 9 a.m. at Montana this year already. So we were prepared, and we knew what we needed to do to lock in. And so it didn't faze us that much then, even though we lost. But today it wasn't going to faze us either.
It's a big game. I mean, these are big moments, and let's kind of go through this. There, you guys are down. I think you're down 3 at the half, and then you just really come out firing in the second half. There, what was it? You started to get the ball inside Kurjo Kuch a little bit more. Started really handling it inside the paint there. That tended to open up you guys on the outside. But what was it at halftime that kind of clicked for you guys coming out in the second half?
We just knew that we were right there, and we played really well. I mean, for us scoring 42 points and a half is crazy. And to be right there with these guys is exciting to see. And we knew that we just had to stay confident, keep doing what we're doing, and mix up the plays a little bit, mix up the matchups a little bit, and it went good for us.
Did you talk to Matt Johnson in the first half? He wasn't his typical self that we've seen this season, at least, but he stayed in it. That's what I really love about watching him play. He stayed in it and was able to turn out a really nice game, 15 points, but some key free throws late.
Yep, no, absolutely. Matt's the best free throw shooter we have on our team, and for him to be clutch in those moments was really exciting to see.
Yeah, no question about it. So many players just come up with big moments. But, Bodie, take us through this, man. I mean, you're getting inside. You're hitting threes like crazy. 7 for 10 from the three-point line, man. I think at one point, at the half, you guys were shooting like 78% from the three. So was Sacramento State. It was crazy. I mean, you guys couldn't miss for a while.
Yep. Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And for me, I just got some opportunities to catch and shoot the ball, and it was really nice to have.
Take us through that block. There was a block there late, man. Sacramento State has a chance to make this game a little bit closer as time's dwindling down, but you come up with an absolute monster block. You had 3 total, but that one really felt like this one put the Hornets away.
Yeah, for me, I just know that he's going to curl a lot of these double staggers that we have or any screen that he gets set for him, really. And I mean, I tell these guys all the time, like, look, if I look like I'm behind him, don't hop over, because most of the time I'll be able to do what I need to do and try to block a shot or make a play on the ball. And they listened this time, and luckily it worked out for our favor.
There was a stretch there, Bodie, a little worrisome for Bears fans. I think in 3 possessions, I think there was 3 turnovers there. Had an issue for a moment breaking that Sacramento State press, but you kind of calmed down, and then you were able to do that. What adjustments did you make there? What happened kind of in that stretch where there was a couple of turnovers in that press?
I just realized that we needed to deflect the ball, and we needed to go meet passes. Who was throwing the ball in was really nice for us and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, there's just so much that goes through it, man. Well, congratulations. I mean, 30 points, 8 rebounds. You had the 2 steals. Hey, one more for you. How about Kurjo Kuch? That guy, it seems like every game just gets a little bit better, and this was a fantastic game from him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He's proven that he wants to be the best big in this league, and he's proven that he can do that. And for him to have his 5th straight double-double is unbelievable. And you know, you ask so much of him to stay out of foul trouble and stay down and guard some of these guys' best players. I mean, some of the guys in the league, their best players are 5, and he does work.
Yeah.
And that he's really incredible to watch right now.
Yeah, and I see you guys on the sidelines, too, and I see you talking to your guys. I see you talking to Coor, Matt. Taking on that leadership role. I mean, Bodie, it's crazy to me, but this is only your 2nd Big Sky Conference tournament because of what happened last year. But do you feel kind of like, all right, I need to be there, especially in these key moments, and keep these guys up, keep their heads in this game, so to speak?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm never going to be the guy that's going to hype someone up or bring juice, as Coach Smiley would call it. I'm going to be the guy that shows them what we need to do, shows them how we need to do it, and just tries to get the best job done out of people, you know?
Yeah, no question about it, man. It was a joy to watch you guys. So much fun, so many big moments. Everybody on, I mean, even a guy like Jamel Melvin, Bodie, he comes in, he has 2 points, but he comes in with Coors and foul trouble, and, you know, he didn't get run over. I mean, you look at Esposito, I mean, he's a really good basketball player, man. I mean, he was a lot of times getting what he wanted, but there's just every little moment you look, it was a complete team effort, and, you know, you just look at that, and, man, it's when you needed to step up most, it happened this morning.
Yep.
Bodie, appreciate you, my man. Southern Utah coming up. We know it's another morning game, and we'll be rooting for you again tomorrow morning.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right,
have
man.
A good one.
You too. Bodie Hume, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 blocks. This was one of those games, man. I mean, where you really want to get the best out of it, because this is it. There's no tomorrow. Well, now there is. But when you're playing these games, you're thinking, man, you lose, it's done. Because there's not going to be any CBI, NIT, CIT, none of that stuff. It's not going to happen this year. One of them's not even happening. I can't even keep it straight. But one's like only 16 teams, and then the other one's only at large. So this is it. So tomorrow morning, starting pretty early, not as early as today, the Bears go at it again, get to that second round, going up against Southern Utah. But, man, this was a great one. This was awesome to see this team do this. And I think this is the kind of basketball team that, like, I think this kind of performance is possible all the time. I go back to earlier in the season. They played Utah State. I talked about this yesterday. They played Utah State to the, you know, last couple of minutes. They were in this game. In fact, they were up by like 5 with like 7 minutes left. But they found a way to stay in that basketball game. Utah State at the tail end gets some big three-pointers and some big free throws. And the score looked a little bit not nearly as close as it actually was. But I looked at that team and I said, this is what they're capable of. Utah State's a damn good team. They were damn near an at-large team. And the Bears hung in there. So if you can get that kind of performance, but I tell you, Bodie Hume, if he can do this tomorrow, look out. And I'm torn, actually. Bodie's the obvious choice for MVP for this one, 30 points. But it's Kuorjo Kuch, man. 11 boards, 14 points. He kind of dominated early, then kind of faded, but then got back to it. You know, I tweeted out during the game. I said, if Kuor can start demanding or take some command in the paint there, things are going to change. And that's what happened. They got him the ball in the paint. Spin doctor, man. I mean, he has a great spin move. They started putting two on him. And I was talking to Coach Smiley in our Zoom round ball meeting. They were showing us some scout film. And, you know, he's saying, hey, two on the ball. That's what they want. They want to ultimately get a player where as soon as you see two defenders get on that ball, your head snaps up and you got to be looking. And that's what this team did. This team shot 13 of 20 from the three-point line, 65%. Sacramento State shot 70%. I mean, it was phenomenal. 7 of 10. Not like they shot a lot of threes, but still 7 of 10. Still pretty good. But the Bears found a way to get it done. It was close. I think the spread on this one was 1.5. Bears favored. So Bears scored 90 points. That's a big point total. And like you said, man, Colfax said, hey, 30 points in college. I mean, that's pretty big time, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, 20 points is considered really good. There's so many guys to give shout-outs here, too. I mean, everybody was involved. Sam Mastin, whose minutes have certainly decreased over the year. He had some key moments. Trayshawn Smoots with 16 minutes. He had 5 points. Jamel Melvin, I like this kid. I think he's going to be a good player for these guys. I mean, again, Kuor goes out in foul trouble, and Jamel comes in, and, you know, he's not going to be the scoring threat that Kuor is, but he handled himself well. He came up with a good tie-up rebound. If he doesn't hold on to that, you know, Sac State probably gets the ball right there, goes up for a quick two. Tie-up rebound, jump ball, it's possession for the Bears, so that was a key play. There was a lot of big moments in this one. 27 minutes after the hour. All right, let's load up our Power to Play sports poll question. Haven't even got to that one yet. Kind of another variation of this question, but, you know, now that we're allowing over 21,000 fans going to be allowed at Coors Field, are you going to be one of them at some point this season? And I put three options here because maybe you don't go to games, but you're still watching. So one option is no, I'm done with the Rockies for good. Or yes. Or no, but I'm still a fan. 43% of the hooligans are saying I'm done with the Rockies for good. 43%, that's the majority. 37% say yes, I'm going to go because I got the party deck and, you know, it's fun to watch baseball there. It's a fun place to play. 18% say no, but I'm still a fan. I'm just not going to go. COVID, you don't like to go to games. You'd rather watch or you just don't have the time. If you're a Northern Colorado listener, then it's more of a trek. It's more of a process. But 43%. Wow, look at that. It's crazy. Noob, you have any room left for the bracket challenge? What do you think, Colfax? Get Noob in?
Okay.
Get Noob in?
Yeah, we could do that.
Noob, send your email. Send it over. Let's get you in, man. I'm talking to Rose Flowers. Rose Flowers. R-O-W-E-S. Rose is a cool name. Not spelled like, yeah, you got
like
it.
Like Mike Rose.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
they're going to be doing some work with us. They're in Loveland, downtown Loveland. And I love this, man, because you guys are getting ready to, I know what you're going to do. You're going to be glued to basketball. I mean, look, you already watched a morning game with UNC. You're going to be glued to basketball. You're going to do something stupid. Then your bracket's going to be busted. Well, make sure that's the only thing that's busted, not your relationship. Right? You got it, Colfax.
I see where this is going.
You see where it's going. Rose Flowers in downtown Loveland, locally owned and operated. And Hooligans, I implore you, now is the time to support local. Maybe you screwed up for Valentine's Day. Maybe she told you, I don't do Valentine's Day. I'm not into that. And then you didn't do anything. And then, you know, she's like, okay, you failed that test. Well, pass this next test. Talk to my friends over at Rose Flowers. We're going to give some gift cards away. In fact, part of the gift basket we're doing for the March Madness Challenge is there's going to be a $100 gift certificate for Rose Flowers. Yeah. I mean, we got great stuff coming. Great stuff coming down the pipe. All right, Noob. Noob got his email in. Noob's in. We'll get you in. We'll send it through CBS a little bit later. What do we got here? John texting back in. That was awesome, guys. I was talking to a fellow alumni. John Sands, I turned off my headset and put on my speakerphone. He listened live with me as you read my text. Thanks for Mama Tried. I couldn't find my record app in time. Can you send me a clip of that whole segment? Buddy, you are in luck. Because you know what we do with this show every single day, Colfax?
Put it online.
We wrap this bad boy up and we put it in a podcast. So it's going to be there for you, my friend. Shout out to Buddy. What do we shout out? We're shout out radio. That's cool. That's fine. Shout out to Buddy Ron White, teacher at Northridge, and Charles Ingold, my advisor at UNC. You guys made my day and Buddy John's day awesome. Thanks. That's what we do, Colfax. We do. The whole show changes lives.
We make days.
Make days. We like make my day or do we make days? Because there's a difference. So well, make my day is like challenging somebody to a fight. Make days is like, okay, you just put a smile on your face.
Yeah, smiles.
Make my day.
We pass out smiles like candy out here.
You're going to go up to somebody, hey, make my day. Yeah. And the guy's like, wait, what?
What?
What? Go down. 30 minutes after the hour. All right, we're going to take a short break. Just like that, we're going on to more college basketball. The Colorado Buffaloes, they're waiting on a few things here's Dixon, man. Okay, I'll read that. I'll read that later. Buffs are waiting tonight because Stanford plays Cal, and they'll get the winner of that game. So we'll talk to Mark Johnson about that next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. We've been just rolling through, man. That's what happens when you have a basketball game at 9 in the morning, man. I mean, you just have a tough time catching your breath. But we keep rolling through. It's basketball time, man. The Buffs are awaiting what's going to happen tonight between Stanford and Cal. So I'm excited to see what the Buffs can do tomorrow in the Pac-12 tournament. Joining us to talk about that, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend. How are you?
Buddy, fantastic. Good to be on with you.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to get you on the program. Do the Buffs view this? How do the Buffs view this tournament? I mean, there's not as much pressure. I mean, there's maybe some pressure on it last year with the way the regular season kind of ended, but the Buffs came up with some monster wins that for sure stamped that ticket and also set them up pretty. It depends on, you know, obviously where we're going to see with the standings, but does it feel like the pressure's off a little bit for Colorado as far as this tournament goes?
I don't think they look at it that way. I think they look at it, they're going to Las Vegas to win a championship. And I think, you know, yes, the pressure's off in regard to making the NCAA tournament, but, you know, for them, it's just on to the next chapter, okay? That's going to happen next week in Indiana. This week it's Las Vegas. Let's see if they can win a championship there because they're good enough to do it. In fact, I saw our buddy John Wilner from San Jose Mercury's news put his picks out last night. He's got Colorado winning the whole tournament. So I think they've got a great opportunity.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with him. I think the Buffs have just as good a shot. And, man, it's a little bit different than last year. Even though, yeah, more than likely the Buffs are going dancing last year if that would have happened, they kind of backed in. They lost a few games there, 4 or 5 games down the stretch. Not the case this year. It seemed like those last 4 games, the Buffs really turned it up. And that's the type of team that can do some damage in this tournament and can do some damage in March Madness.
Well, you got to have two things when you go to the postseason. You've got to have a good basketball team. Okay, check. Colorado's got that. And you have to have a team that's playing well. And I say that with a caveat because, you know, we talk about that in the media, guys like you and I all the time. And I'll never forget in 2003 when I was with Syracuse, I mean, the national championship run. You know, they went in and got knocked out of the Big East tournament early and then winning the national championship. So, you know, it all depends on – you have to have a good team, number one. And obviously Colorado does. And then you've got to be able to play well, which they certainly can. And so you'd like to see – I think and more often than not, you want to see – you want to be playing well going into the tournament because, you know, momentum carries a little bit. And you certainly don't want to be going the other direction like Colorado was last year in the dance but playing bad basketball, dropping five in a row and having to turn that around. So I think you'd much rather be in Colorado's circumstance than they are this year.
Yeah, no question about it. Mark, it seems like every week we talk about this, but I've been using this because you told us this several times, the golden age of CU basketball. It certainly feels like it with what Tad Boyle's done. But McKinley Wright, do you ever get the sense that maybe not Buffs fans as much, but even in the state of Colorado, that he's just so good, but at the same time, maybe he's underappreciated because he's not constantly dropping 30. He's doing everything on the floor. Do you ever get that sense that maybe he's a bit underappreciated for how good this guy is?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you know, I think there's reasons for that. He's not, you know, 6'8 and a high-flying guy that, as you said, will go out and drop 25 or 30 every night. I was doing a national show the other day, and they asked me about McKinley Wright. And I said, you know what it is about him? He does whatever the team needs at that time. I said, down the stretch of the season, he's been a pretty big scorer. I mean, he's averaged, I think, about 18 or 19 a game in the last four or five games of the year. But there are other times when he'll be very quiet offensively, only take four or five shots. He'll go get, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 assists that we saw in one game here a short time ago. Sometimes he's the best defensive player on the court. And because of kind of that willingness to sacrifice his own game for the team, I don't think he gets as much pub as he should. Now, with that being said, Brady, I'll say this. The league coaches chose the Pac-12 Player of the Year yesterday.
Yeah.
Evan Mobley is a supremely talented guy. Coaches should know better than that. Coaches are the ones that aren't going to get caught up in a hyperbole, but they do, apparently, because you know, I was on the Pac-12 Network yesterday, and I said, I'm not even sure that Evan Mobley is the most important guy in his own team.
Right.
I think Taj Eady is. I think as Eady goes, USC goes. And I don't think there's anybody in the Pac-12, and I'll throw, you know, Duarte up at Oregon, I'll throw DeSilva at Stanford in this conversation, because those are the four guys that I think will probably be the leading candidates for Player of the Year. I think McKinley Wright is hands down the most important player for his team, and he took them from a preseason 6 selection to being the number 3 seed. You know, he's many times best defender on the court. I think they made a mistake yesterday. And I'm disappointed in the coaches in the league because they shouldn't get caught up. And I understand people in the media and fans. You know, you look at Evan Mobley, 7 feet tall. He's a physical specimen. He'll be a top 5 pick in the NBA draft. But guess what? The Pac-12 Player of the Year has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do who has been the best player and the best player for their team and the most important player for their team all season long, and in my view, and I'm biased, I'll fully admit that, but in my view, that's been McKinley Wright.
Yeah, honestly, Mark, it's hard to argue with you because, again, I think we're talking about this at the NBA level now. We are saying, you know, guys like Nikola Jokic, even LeBron James, we're saying guys that, you know, they don't have to score 30 every night. They're whatever right. the team needs, and you see that with some, I think it's going to be a trend in the NBA, I hope anyway. So you would think when you look at college basketball, we're not just eyeing down individual stats. We're looking at it and saying, all right, what does this guy need to do on any given night? Because every matchup is so different.
Well, I'll say this in the NBA, you know, and I'm not a fan of a guy like James Harden. I'm just not. I'm not a fan of his game. And I know he puts up some spectacular numbers. But for me, on any given night, I'll choose the LeBron James, who has a complete game. A Nikola Jokic should be and better be in the conversation for what he does because he is supremely important to his team. I've always been the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan fan of guys like that that did it all, were unbelievable in every aspect of the game. That's what I'm impressed by. You know, in my view, and I'll go back for older fans like I am, you know, George Kirby scored a lot of points, but today he was never an MVP, okay? And I think too many times we get caught up in some of that stuff. And one thing we do in this day and age with college guys, we get the guy that's the five-star guy, a guy like Evan Mobley is, who probably could make the jump and just go straight to the NBA but can't because of the rules. And so we get caught up in the freakishness of what they are and the hyperbole, and they get blown up in the AAU circuit, and we become infatuated with them. Well, obviously, that guy has to be in the conversation. Well, no, that guy doesn't have to be in the conversation. Not to say Evan Mobley could, you know, shouldn't be, but we don't have to put him in the conversation simply because of the pub coming in. No, no. Look at the games this season, the 25 to 30 games that everyone played, and tell me who was the best player game in and game out. Don't sell me on hyperbole. Don't sell me on preseason stuff. I want to know who, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Tell me the numbers. And that's what we should be following, but of course that's not what we follow.
Yeah, no doubt. I tend to agree. And like you said, especially in the NBA, when you look at the point totals, I mean, there's just so much more. I always talk about the other stats, and there's just so much more you have to offer a basketball team, especially to be named an MVP type or a player of the year. Well, hopefully everything goes right for the Buffs tomorrow, but we got to sit back here. We got Stanford Cal tonight, Mark. Now the Buffs ran the table three times. They took care of Stanford pretty easily. They beat up on Cal that first time, but of course, Cal caught the Buffs. You and I talked about that game. They caught the Buffs on probably their worst night of the year, and that happens to every basketball team. And Cal was on fire that night. But the Buffs the other time, you know, beat them like we expected. So, you know, the Buffs have that on their mind, depending on who wins this thing. But more like, who do you think wins this one? Stanford tonight?
My guess is, I thought it was interesting, and I mentioned John Wilner earlier, and he's about as versed as anybody is in the Pac-12. He has Cal winning this game. And I think they had some pretty good contests during the season. And so I won't be shocked if Cal wins it. I just don't think they will. I think Stanford wins this game. And, you know, the Buffs took care of Stanford twice this season. It's a good matchup for Colorado. You've got the Da Silva, you know, sidebar story, and it was just kind of fun. But I won't be shocked, like I said, if the Bears win. But I do think that the Trees are going to win this thing.
Yeah, and then the next step, take care of business tomorrow, and we'll see what USC does waiting on Washington, Utah, because I know we'd love to see that matchup. How about McKinley Wright on that side of it? Is he the type of player looking at this? Does he look at the player of the year and see that? Does he come into this tournament with a chip on his shoulder?
Well, I think McKinley Wright always has a chip on his shoulder. And you know, look at what he did last Thursday in that meeting with Arizona State with Remy Martin, who was a preseason All-American. And, I don't know if you had a chance to hear it or not, but in the pregame show last Thursday, I broke down their numbers, not only this season, but in their career. And for reasons that I am just not smart enough to understand, Remy Martin gets all this national press. I'm not bashing Remy Martin. I think he's a fine player. But if Remy Martin's getting all that kind of press, McKinley Wright should be getting all that kind of press and consideration. And so it was stunning. When you break the numbers down, I mean, it's not even close. People like to think, well, but Remy Martin's a much bigger scorer. He's not. By his average, about 0.3 of a point was about it. And then the rebounding numbers and assist numbers and shooting numbers and, the field goal percentage numbers were far in McKinley Wright's favor. So Ken was phenomenal in that game because I do think he gets a little of that. Well, let me show you that. Okay, you might not want to, you might not be see it this way, but I'm going to prove otherwise to you. And so I think he's got a little bit of that, and I'm quite certain he'll take that into this tournament.
Mark, one more for you. I feel like we could talk about McKinley Wright all day. Hands down, is he the greatest Buff to ever do this? I mean, I know it's a debate, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. And the reason, you got, Chauncey Billups.
Sure.
And I've always said to people, the one guy in CU history that doesn't get nearly enough credit, when you look at his numbers, Cliff Mealy might be one of the greatest college players in the history of this game. I mean, he was phenomenal. Then you got Bertie Halderson and a number of others down. Spencer Dinwiddie obviously has come through here in recent years. Josh Scott was a great Buffalo. So there are some great ones. And I'll never do that to any of those guys. I'll just say this. He might not be in a class by himself, but the class he is in, it doesn't take long to take roll call. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many greats, and it gets tough sometimes because you can get blinded in the now when you're watching what McKinley's doing. If he rolls through this tournament, and who knows what happens in the big dance, does that stock improve in your mind? Does he still have some room to move up that list, so to speak?
Oh, I think he does. I was on with a coach a few days ago, who was the co-host on the show, and he kind of gave his perspective on McKinley as a player and said, and I'll concur with what he was saying. He said, when he gets to the next level, is he the kind of guy that you're going to hand the ball to and say, okay, you got to be like LeBron James or be like Steph Curry and carry a franchise? I don't think that's going to happen at the next level. But if you put McKinley Wright in the right situation where there's some talent around him, he is got such a high basketball IQ, such a great work ethic. He can go to the next level and play and be effective at that level, and I think be very good because he's a leader. He's got the right attitude. He's got the right mentality in terms of how he approaches things. One thing he's got to work on, obviously, you know, he's a little bit undersized. He's only 6 feet tall, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to work on becoming a little better shooter because we know what the NBA game is. Boy, you got to be able to chuck the three. But he's got a lot of qualities that they can find very attractive, and he could find a nice spot if he found, I think, the right set of circumstances with the franchise he goes to.
Hey, I always say this every year about local guys, but I'd like to see him play for the Nuggets. So,
wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that'd be great. Mark, what time does coverage get started for you guys tomorrow night?
It's going to be a late one. Yeah, I got to love this. I hate the 9 o'clock games, so let's make it later. 9:30, and again, that's written in pencil tomorrow because it's a tournament setting, so that could get pushed back to 9:45 or 9:50. We're going to hit the air at 9 o'clock at the Colorado Basketball Network, and we'll have it all the way up, obviously, through the post game tomorrow night. So looking forward to that, that quarterfinal matchup for the Buffaloes as they get their first bye in the first round for the first time ever since joining the league.
Well, Mark, always appreciate you, my friend. Mark, are you there? Or are you where? Because I know it's mobile, or it depends on the broadcast, but where are you?
Yeah, we're going to be in Boulder. Okay. In fact, the Pac-12 is not allowing any of the radio networks to be there, so we'll be doing this one remotely. And I'm trying to rattle the cages to get us out to Indianapolis next week. We'll see how that works out, but that would be the hope.
Now, all right. Well, hey, don't get buried by that snow, man. Take care of the compound. I'll be out there to help you at some point.
There's a bit coming. Hey, I may call you. Don't offer if you don't. Don't be.
I don't know if I get my car through that, man. But I might need a tow or something. Maybe we can saddle up the horses. Hope you got some big ones, some Clydesdales or something, Mark. Always appreciate you, my friend. Good. Have a good call tomorrow. We'll be looking forward to it.
All right, take care.
All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Colfax, we're going to get like anything from 0 to like 18 feet of snow, apparently. Is that? I don't know. Like, I want that job. Can I get that job?
You're never wrong.
No, you're just, you know what? It's my wife's like, are you going to take Monday off? You should just take it off. I'm like, if it snows Sunday to the point where I don't feel like I can safely drive in, yeah, I won't come in.
Let's wait for the snow to fall.
Let's wait for the snow. I'm giving my wife a hard time. She's like, I just want you to be safe. I was like, hey, I will be. If I look outside and I'm like, holy cow, I have to, you know, tunnel through to get to my car, then I'm not coming in. But apparently, man, go get your stuff at the grocery store, right?
I got my toilet paper already, so we're good.
I just picture people's cupboards just empty for some reason all the time. And then suddenly snow hits. It's like, I guess we should go eat finally. We should probably have. It's going to be like a 2-day thing.
It's already, it's like warm. It's still warm out there, right?
I was outside with no coat on earlier, man, doing jumping jacks.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's fun to do that.
If we're already getting in spring here. You wait 5 minutes, it'll melt.
Wait 5 minutes, and I get what you're doing. 51 minutes after the hour. Steve Smiley's still to come here, man. A lot of college basketball talk here. We're excited about that. 21,000 fans are going to be going to Coors Field. Are you going to be one of them? That's the Power to Play Sports poll question.
I'll be there.
You're going to go. You are going to go to one?
I'm going to go to every one.
See, I haven't been to a game in a long time, but it's not because I'm, like, not a fan. I'm always going to be. I'm a sports guy. I'm going to be a fan of the Rockies, and I'm not, like, protesting. Do I think the owners need to have a serious look in the mirror, Dick Monfort? Yeah, I absolutely do, but still gonna be a fan.
It's fun.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break here. As the power trip says, let's hit the showers. Hit the showers. We'll be right back.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Nobody in the state, Colfax, is talking about what we're talking about here. We're doing a mix. We mix it up here. The only place you'll get it. We're going to talk Bears. We're going to talk Buffs. We're going to talk Rams. Colorado State, we haven't got to them much, but they're play tomorrow. There's some great stories. We're going to talk Nuggets and Broncos, too, man. We're going to hit everything that we possibly can because there is a crap ton going on.
And if you're lucky, maybe some aliens. Throw that in there, too.
Absolutely some aliens.
I, if you go to the party deck at Coors Field, you might see some aliens there. You know, they got to do something to draw the crowd. Prediction, April 1st, 21,000 can go. Do they hit that mark?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it's the Dodgers, too. So, no. But yeah.
I'd say if no one was playing, if they just opened the stadium, people would show up.
just watch the Rockies in batting practice?
Yes.
I just think that all these boycotters, they're the loud ones, but people are going to Rockies game. It's going to happen. All right, when we come back, we're going to get UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley. Yeah, we're going Bears heavy because they just won the first round game. They beat Sac State. They got Southern Utah tomorrow. We're only going to have like 30 minutes of a show tomorrow because of that game, which we'll happily step aside for the Bears on that. All right, second hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.